Good morning. How's everyone doing on this beautiful Tuesday morning of February 23rd, 2016? I am your host, Yvette Harmony Jett, better known as the Spiritual Harmonizer. And what I do is I help you become one with your soul. And I do that through the seven keys of spiritual harmony, so that there's no discord, dissonance, or disorder in your life whatsoever, so that every part of your being is one beautiful-sounding, harmonious note. And so I just want to say good morning. Thank you for joining me. And usually I say it's a sunny, sunny morning, but today is cloudy. Today is raining. We have low ceilings, and it is cold. I think the low today is supposed to be like 42. So we had the sunshine in the Dallas area, and now we're back to the coldness. Everybody's wrapping up, everyone's bundling up, but it's all good. Our spirits are warm and our spirits are high, so we're just going to have a great, great time today. But I don't want to take too long introducing myself or anything like that. I'm just going to let you guys know once again on this Tuesday morning on the mic, we have Eddie B. I call him, of course, Eddie Bauer, but his name is Eddie Barnes, and he is back for another conversation with Eddie, and I'm so excited to have my spiritual brother, I call him my personal angel, just on the mic here in the house with us tonight, and I mean this morning, and I know that you guys will be blessed. This brother blesses me every time I come in contact with him. So, Eddie, just say good morning to everybody.
Good morning, everyone. It's good to be back on the radio. And hopefully we can uplift some spirits and bring some clarity to lives this morning.
That is awesome, clarity. And that's funny because we were talking about clarity before the show. And, I guess that's a good place to start right there, because I know just in observing life, observing people, observing my own life, that clarity is a major key component to life. And I know I used to think that, you know, in order to understand life, it had to be difficult and it had to be foggy. And you couldn't actually have a clear perspective and a point of view. And I know you were telling about experience that you just went through recently when, you know, you gained some clarity just by the experiences you had and the experience that God showed you. Can you kind of hone in on how it felt to get to the clearing when you found your clarity in your own personal experience, Eddie?
Yeah, sure. I'll do a quick recap of my experience. It's almost been 2 weeks now. I went down to Fort Lauderdale to go to a dispatch school to get my dispatch license, and I thought it was going to be a nice and easy trip for me. I thought it was in Florida. I'm thinking a vacation and a little school, but it was more school than vacation. And I had a spiritual experience there. The first 2 days for me were very, very, very challenging and difficult, more than I expected. And I felt lost. I didn't have clarity. Everything was a little foggy for me. I just felt defeated in a way. And that's when I knew something wasn't right. And I just happened to call my mom because I literally spiritually, physically, mentally, I was broke down because I felt defeated. I felt that I made all of this, I got to this point and I thought I was becoming a failure. And one morning I happened to wake up 5 o'clock in the morning, which is very rare because I'm not a morning person at all. And I woke up and I had some gospel music playing and I just started to feel the pressure that I was feeling. I just started to release. And it was at that point of the releasing that I found clarity. God gave me clarity. And sometimes that's how it happens in life. You know, we have all this pressure built up, and our minds are foggy, you know, spiritually we're foggy, and then God has a way of allowing certain situations to arise to bring clarity to not only our lives, but the particular situation that we may be facing in our lives. And that particular situation provided me clarity in a way that I never thought, because, again, I thought I was going to Florida for a vacation and a little school, but it was actually a spiritual lesson in everything that happened down there. And that's how God is. The unexpected lesson is what I like to call it, that God kind of brings to us sometimes.
Wow. I like that. I like the fact that you said an unexpected lesson. So when you had this, and looking back on it now, I didn't say hindsight is 20/20. When you look back on it now, is there anything that you would change while you were in the lesson?
I would say one thing that, I heard all the time, and it's one thing to hear it, and then it's another thing to actually do it. I always, heard my mom or my grandmother or dad say, just stop trying to do everything yourself and give it over to God. And it's easier said than done, because we are humans. We feel like we can control everything and we can control our own destiny. But in fact, we're just a vessel. We don't control anything. God controls everything. And the lesson that I learned in that, in the midst of that, is just to remove myself and let God guide me. And that was the lesson in all of that, to remove myself and let God lead the way. And with Him doing that comes the clarity. Because He will order your steps.
I like that. I like that. So I guess you could say, well, when you look at it, because I'm a person of systems. I like to have a system to everything. So I would guess you could say the first system in removing any fog to regain the clarity is to remove yourself. And then when you remove yourself, then that allows the guidance of God to come in. And tell me, when you say you removed yourself, what does that look like? Because I know I've observed in my own life when I thought the removing of myself meant not doing it anymore, not doing whatever the function was anymore, or not dealing with the function, or not even functioning sometimes, just shutting everything down. But it seems as though that when you were in this moment of gaining your clarity, you had to keep going because you have to accomplish a goal. So how did you remove yourself from that and still being in the midst of it, in the presence of God? How did you remove yourself from it? What does that look like?
Well, the way that I removed myself is that a lot of times we try to control all of our situations. And in this particular case, I knew that there was a ton of material that I had to know. I knew that there was, I was only there for a limited amount of time. And I knew that, I had to know this information, but I didn't. I didn't know the best way that I probably should have. So what I did is I had a prayer with my mom before I went into class on the third day that I was there. And we prayed as I was on my way to the class. And she said, God didn't leave you this far to leave you. And that resonated with me. And that particular phrase in the whole prayer just brought a calmness over me. Like I didn't have any anxiety anymore. I wasn't trying to control everything. I just had a calmness. And sometimes God has to slow everything down, which provides calm. When you think of, calm weather, you may think of, a fog or, a slight rain. You think it's kind of calm outside. And just being still within the situation, but having a different mindset and a calmness allowed me to remove myself and just let things take place as God wants them to happen. And that's what, I say, being in the midst of the lesson and being in the midst of this class But having that calmness allowed me to remove myself and allow things to work out the way that God wanted them to.
I like that. I like that. And I think that's so important. And I think that's a key point that you brought out, is that calmness. And I guess when I think of the calmness, I think of the inner peace. I think of, like, the silent prayer that we all have on a constant basis. And I think of, like, the meditation that you have in the midst of everything going on around you. And that's what I think of the mindset, you know, because it's something that comes over you. And I think of a passage in the Bible where it talks about giving a peace that passes all understanding. And so it seems like that's what came over you in that moment and in that prayer and in that connectivity to another spiritual like being. And that's important right there, is having that connectivity to another soul that's like your soul. So that you're encountering, mm-hmm. basically you're kind of looking at the creative nature of God. You know, and I think that's awesome. I really do. So how did you know that was the person that you should connect to to gain the power and the strength that you needed in God?
Well, I just knew because that's where the Spirit led me. I knew that there were a couple of people whom I could have contacted, but at that point where I was just releasing because I had so much pressure bottled up, I just felt God said, you know, give your mom a call. And I was kind of hesitant because, again, I felt like I can do all of this by myself. I felt, you know, I'm, you know, macho man. I can do this. I don't need anyone's help. But God has a way of breaking you down and seeking his guidance. And sometimes we don't always just seek it directly from God. He uses another person to speak to us indirectly. And that's what happened. And one thing I will say is that you spoke of, you know, this morning being low ceilings and clouds and fog. Well, sometimes that's how our spirituality is. We're spiritually clogged. We're spiritually foggy, mentally clogged, spiritually, you know, low ceilings. We can't see past the low ceilings. But the thing of nature is, you know, eventually the low ceilings and the fog burns off. Some people ask, how does that happen? Some people ask, how does that happen? Well, you know, from a meteorological perspective, what happens is the sun always burns the fog away. And the sun, as the sun is shining, the fog is burned from the bottom up. So it starts at the ground, and it burns its way up, and it dissipates. And that's what I found my mom was. She was the sun that started to burn all the fogginess, all the cloudiness out of my spirit to eventually have the sun open up, and everything became clear. And, again, that calmness came through that whole process. And so that's what I kind of alluded to. And to help people understand how the clarity comes about.
Wow, I like that. That is a great analogy, because when you talk about the sun burning off the clouds and the low ceiling, and it burns it from the bottom, so that just goes to show, one, that God is in everything. That God is, mm-hmm. I mean, he's in nature, he's in people, he's just in his atmosphere. And it's awesome, I think, that you said that, because you can look at the creation of God and see God working and manifesting himself in our own personal life. Because for the sun to start at the bottom and then work its way up, I believe that's what God does for our life. He works basically where we are on the ground floor, on the cellular level to get us elevated to where we need to be. And I think that's a perfect description of what God does, because he doesn't start at the top, he doesn't start at the middle, he starts at the bottom, where we need it most, you know. And I think that's where you get out the clutter, that's where you get out just the core of everything, is just starting at the bottom where everything kind of formulates and creates. Just how when, you know, he created the earth, he created out the dust. He started at the bottom in order to create, in order to manifest, and in order to make it known. And I think that is perfect. I really do.
And the interesting thing,
I love that.
The interesting thing, Miss Yvette, is that, you know, if you were to, you know, happen to be, you know, in an airplane or wherever, higher elevation above the fog level, what I find interesting is that the sun's rays, or the rays of the sun, they actually have to penetrate through the fog level to hit the ground, bounce off the ground, to keep the fog, to eventually allow it to dissipate. And that's another, for me, another illusion of God is bringing his rays through the mess all the way to the bottom, to bounce back up and eventually dissipate the fog. And that's what I experienced. He brought his rays of sunshine, was brought through my fog from the top and hit the bottom, bounced back up, and starts to dissipate. And that's where my calmness, my clarity, my clear mind, clear spirit eventually came.
Wow. That's amazing, because I like what you said, because when God has the power to break through, to break that ceiling, to break through everything that's going on in our lives, in our spirits, in our mind, in our souls, and then to shoot it back up. I think when he shoots it back up, that's like the glory of him. So that, like, everyone sees like his glory, and you don't even have to say anything, because you know that power is so strong that it doesn't come anywhere else but from a miraculous source. And I think that's just truly amazing, because that's a hard feeling to break through. When you have a level of clouds and you have a level of, you know, when you equate it to life, a level of confusion, a level of dysfunction, and for God to be able to break through that, to break through it so profoundly that it's not completely removed, but there's a breakthrough. And I think about a lot of times, I think about our lives holistically. And people always say, well, how can you minister when you're going through your own stuff, or when you're in your own confusion? And I've heard it said many times that you can't help someone else fix their life or fix themselves until you're fixed completely. And honestly, with what we just talked about, where God breaks through, that just blows that theory and that theological point of view completely out the window, because that doesn't give way to the principles of God, because that puts him back in a box, you know? And so it's like, oh, my God, just that alone takes God out the religious box that we put him in and put him more on a spiritual plane of the divinity and the authority that he is. And I think that is amazing. So when you were going through everything that you were going through, you were having these breakthroughs, and where the rays went back up, were you able to maintain that level of clarity with only having the breakthroughs, not necessarily the whole fog being lifted?
You know, I was, because eventually what happens is once the ground becomes warm enough, all the fog dissipates. And it started that morning, because prior to that morning, I had 2 days of class, in which were very tough, and I failed a couple of tests, and I just became down and worried and stressed and all that other stuff. And that morning that I had the breakthrough and the peace came over me, I said, okay, God, just just lead the way. And he slowed everything down for me. He gave me mental clarity that I did not have 2 days prior that allowed me to excel. And I went from, you know, last to first. I went from failing to passing to being, you know, I got one of the highest grades on the test. And that's just a testament of how God works through situations. Again, I thought I was going to Florida for a mini vacation and a little school, but God happened to sneak in a spiritual lesson in there, which is fine because I'm grateful for it. There was a learning there. There was a understanding there. There was a maturation there. And so, yes, back to your question, having that small breakthrough eventually allow God to provide me wholeness and a better clarity than I had before of why I was down there and why I was doing what he wanted me to do.
I like that. And I like the fact that you put a number on it. You said 2 days later. Because I just was listening to my pastor on Sunday. He preached. I always give him a shout out because he's amazing. Dr. Rodney Dillon, he was preaching on Sunday, and he was talking about how God is concerned with numbers. And because, one, in the Bible, there's a book, of course, called Numbers. And when God does everything, he talks about how he made the world in 7 days. He talks about the number of fish and the loaves of bread. He talks about the men and women that were there when he was performing the miracles, the 5,000 and 3,000. And I think it's awesome that you gave account to the fact that it only took 2 days for you, for this whole clarity, the wholeness, the healing to occur. Because in life, you know, you have situations, you have challenges, you have circumstances, you have breakups, you have deaths, you have so many things that can occur in life. And, you know, of course, people say, oh, it's going to take time. It's going to take years to heal. It's going to take this. But I think the key thing to hone in on, you said 2 days. I think that's the power and the providence of God working together to give that provision and that perfection, because it doesn't have to take forever. So I think the thing that made it so perfect and powerful and precise was the fact that you're available and that you are recognizing and aware of the power of God. And I think that is so profound, Eddie, when we can recognize, even in the midst of a situation, the power and the presence of God and being consciously available to what he has for our life. Because you knew that even though it was a spiritual lesson, there was still something that was manifesting in your life. And for you to recognize that as being a part of, you know, the system of gaining that clarity, I think is awesome. I truly, truly think that is awesome. So this is my question to you. If there was, like, one thing that you would not change in that whole spiritual experience that you felt was so perfect, what is that one thing that you would not change whatsoever?
One thing I would not change was I would not change the fact that I had the low point the first 2 days. I wouldn't change that, because sometimes God has to humble us, is what someone told me. And that's another thing. And sometimes God has to bring us down to our lowest level to humble us, to allow us to see what's going on and see why we're at this particular point in our life. He has to humble us. And I wouldn't change that because it provided me the fuel, the clarity I needed to move forward. And one thing I would like to say also is that, you know, after my first 2 days, I really felt like I was a failure. I wanted to give up. But once God gave me that clarity, he gave me the energy I needed to move forward, to keep going. And I would like to advise everyone, or just to, if anyone is going through anything, it's just to keep walking, keep pushing, even though it may be hard, maybe tough. Just to keep walking. If it's slow steps, at least you're making progress. just to keep walking forward, because eventually God will, he's leading your steps the whole way. We just have to be willing to follow.
Wow.
And so we should just keep moving, keep pushing and fighting through those barriers and those breakthroughs, because, you know, God is not, we're not alone. And the one thing I love Maya Angelou. I love her so much. When she died, I just felt like the world was ending. But she said something in one of the poems that says, I come as one, but I stand as 10,000. And that is so beautiful, because God always has us. He has brought his 10,000 angels. And then through that process, God provided me angels that I thought I would never meet or would happen to come about. And he brought those angels. And that, you know, standing as come as one, standing as 10,000, just allows you to stand in confidence, to stand knowing that God has your back, to stand in knowing that he's not going to leave you alone. Even though you may be physically alone, he's not leaving you alone, because he will give you everything that you need to make it through that particular storm or test.
I love that. Oh, my God. And I remember you told me that quote before. And I think, what I know for sure is that is powerful. Like you said, she was a phenomenal woman, a woman of courage and confidence, and she wasn't without the struggle, but I think she learned how to manage the struggle and the transitions of life. And I think that's important as we grow as people, as we grow as spiritual beings, that we basically are standing with those beings and spirits and souls that have gone before us in so many aspects of life. Not just from just only the spiritual aspect, but in the natural walk that we walk on a daily basis. And that is so relevant. I mean, that is so relevant because sometimes I know for myself in challenges, I look back and it feels like there's no one back there. But when you let the spirit overcome you and you know that God and his angels are right there behind you, I think that's awesome. I think that is perfect. And I think that's a perfect place to just stand, is to stand in the confidence. So what I want to just do is wrap it up for our listeners real quick. When you stood in that confidence, how did you feel? How did that feel to stand in the confidence of God?
To stand in the confidence of God, it wasn't stressful. To know that you're standing alone, but you stand as 10,000, just kind of gives you, I wouldn't say, it gives you confidence. It gives you the energy to know that you can move forward. And the thing that God would do, he would slow things down for you so much that you begin to see things that you didn't even notice before. And you take advantage of those resources. Like, God put angels around me, and I didn't even know it until he slowed everything down, and I was able to take advantage and see all the angels that he had around me and all the resources that he had around me. And just knowing that I have those angels gives you a little bit more of a boost to keep moving forward, because eventually you're going to reach the goal. And I am happy to say that I did reach the goal that God had for me. And one thing it just kind of came to me as we were speaking on this, you know, I said Maya Angelou said that we stand as a, come as one, stand at 10,000, as 10,000. And also it kind of reminds me of a song by Donnie McClurkin, I think that's his name, Stand that he has. If we just listen
Eddie,
to that song.
Oh, Eddie, I hate to cut you off. We got 30 seconds. Oh, my gosh. We're going to have to finish this. Oh, my goodness. You're going to have to come back really soon, because I don't want to cut you off in the middle of that. But I want you to hold that thought, because our time is going so fast. We only got 15 seconds. But I want to thank you for being on, Eddie, and you were wonderful once again. And I just want to say thank you so much. And everyone have a blessed day. We love you. We'll see you next week. Take care. Bye-bye.
Take care, everyone.